Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is discussing the statement of Shmuel and how to reconcile the statement of Shmuel with some brightot that we brought yesterday that seemed to undermine what he said. Shmuel's statement yesterday said that our Mishnah is really a single statement, which is all of the opening lines in our Mishnah, which are Mudrani Mimcha, Mufrishani Mimcha, Mruchukani Mimcha, have to have the appendix of Shani Ochel Lecha, or Shani Toem Lecha, otherwise they are meaningless. We brought two brightot that seemed to indicate otherwise. Gemara tried to answer in favor of Shmuel, but it didn't work so well because the brightot clearly delineate each one of those, Lishonot, as being a separate Isur and generating a separate Isur. So our amended version of Shmuel, which is what we left off yesterday, is that depending on what language you use, it has a different impact. And that is, if I say Sha'ani Ochelecha, or I modify it with Sha'ani Ochelecha, then it limits it to an Isur for you to benefit from your friend, but your friend is Mutar in your items. On the other hand, if I say Mudrani Emach, if I add on the Mimcha at the end, instead of just the Cha, then in that instance, it has a bilateral effect, which is that not only are you Asur in your friend's possessions, but your friend is also Asur in your possessions. Yesterday we discussed the different reason as to why. We saw the Tosafot, the first Lashon in the Rosh, that it seems to indicate that it's my stuff and your stuff. He had the second Lashon in the Rosh that said, like Rashi, that it's a more general statement. I just want to be away from you. I want to be distanced from you. And so that creates this bilateral Isur. Or we saw that the Ran says that you're making a statement about yourself and your possessions. So regarding yourself, you can say that you're Asur in your friend's possessions. But about your possessions, the only thing that's relevant is that someone else is restricted in your possessions. And therefore it must be that it's a two-way type of neder. So now the Gemara says, Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Hareini alecha cheirim. If a person says, uses this lashon to generate the neder, which is, I am to you a cheirim, hamudar asur, aval madir lo. In that instance, the mudar, the one who the neder is taken about, the object of the neder is asur, whereas the madir, the one taking the neder, is not restricted. So he made it, hareini alecha cheirim, which means that you, this party that I'm speaking about, may not get benefit from me or from my possessions. On the other hand, the person taking the nether has no restrictions on themselves regarding the other friend. Well, that would go against what we just said, because we just indicated for Shmuel that when you use the term lecha or sheni ochelecha, sheni toim lecha, that's something that narrows the scope of the nether. But already, if I use a broader language, if I use mudrani or all these other types of languages, then that is a broader scope. It includes both you and the other party. And over here we have a Mishnah saying that when I say, Hareini Alecha Cheirim, the Alecha should include, just like the Mimcha or Heimach, Alecha should be inclusive the same way that it was by the case of Mudrani, Mimcha, Mudrani, Heimach, where it should include both parties. Yet the Mishnah says that only one party is restricted. Because we saw before that the Lashon, or that's what the Gemara was indicating, that the Lashon of Mimcha or Alecha, instead, lecha is a narrowing scope, because it just says you and you only. When you use a alecha or mimcha, that means not only are you restricting the other individual in your possessions, but you're also restricting yourself, because, as the Ran says, the alecha or the mimcha also includes your nechassim, and the only way that your nechassim are relevant is if you are also oser the other party. So it has a, according to the Gemara, seemingly a broader scope, and should be inclusive. So Gemara says, no. Kigon de parish va'at alai lo. That he explicitly excluded his friend in this situation. So he says, Areini alecha cheirem va'at alai lo. So by doing that, he now, the language itself is all inclusive, and then he breaks it out. Right, so there are those that ask then, okay, what's the chiddush at this point? How could you have a chiddush, or what's the Mishnah telling you? If you tell explicitly that this is asur, and this is not asur, what's left to be in doubt about? So he suggests that possibly because the word cheirim is a terminology that's like hekdesh, and maybe it makes it in a situation where you won't be able to exclude people, or you won't be able to remove people from the word cheirim. So maybe that's the chiddush over here of the Mishnah, is that despite the use of such a broad or all-encompassing term, you're still able to pull va'atalaya lo. Then the next part of the Mishnah says, Atalai Cherem. If he states the neder this way, you were to me a Cherem, then Hanuder Asur, the one who took the neder now is restricted in getting benefit from this other party's items. Aval Mudar Lo, the person whom which he took the neder, that person is not restricted in anything because he's only restricted the other person's possessions on himself. So again, he's using the term alai, and that should have broader scope. Where it says again, kigon de parish, vana alach lo. Again, that he specifically stated that I have no restriction vis-a-vis you. So in that case, again, you have to ask the same question. What's the chiddush? And we'd have to answer the same way, that this term cherem seems to have a much broader scope, and maybe you can't limit it. Maybe you can't narrow it down. The answer being that you can't. But now the Gemara says, Aval Stamo, Mai. The inference that you would draw from the way that you're setting up the mission now is that if you make the statement and exclude the other party, that it's not inclusive, then Shtehem Asurim. If you did not exclude the other party, they'd both be Asur. Not including the modifier of Atalailo, then Hareini Alecha Cherim would include both parties. That's what it seems to indicate from the way we're saying it now. Problem is, Hamiktani Seifa, the latter half of that mission says, Hareini Alecha Vatalai, Shtehem Asurim. There only when you specify both parties are you asurim, hadeinu d'shneim asurim. Only in that instance are both asur. Hastama, hu asur, v'chaveru mutar. The latter half of the Mishnah seems to indicate otherwise, which is that if you only made the statement of hareini alecha cherim, it would only be a one-way street. It would not create a bilateral neder. And therefore, they don't understand how you can explain it this way. Elohochi itmar. To Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina. So now we have to modify the proof that we brought from Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, that the language of Heimach, Mimcha, Alecha, would have a broader scope, that we have to amend it and say this. Mudarani Lecha, if you use the term Lecha, Shnehem Asurim. Mudrani Heimach, but if you use the term Alecha or Mimcha, then Hu Asur, V'chaveru Mutar. So now here we have a rewording of this concept. If you use the term l'cha, then shnehem are asurim. So Ron explains the word l'cha can mean l'cha to you, or can mean shelcha, of yours. So since the word has both interpretations, then it allows for this two-way street to open up. Because of the, in a sense, ambiguity of the word l'cha, or the possibility of explaining it in both ways, therefore when I use the term l'cha, shnehem asurim. On the other hand, if I use the word alecha or mimcha, then hu asur v'chaveru mutar. So more along the lines of how you were thinking, which was that the alecha really seems to indicate that it's only a one-way street and not a two-way street. And that's what now the Gemara is coming around to. V'ha matznitin. What about our Mishnah? The Tani heimach. Our Mishnah uses the term mimcha. V'ukimne l'matznitin l'shmuel bikulan ad shumer shani toim lecha. And you went ahead and said that our Mishnah is limited to the case when you added on this appendix of Shani Ochtemim Lecha or Shani Ochel Lecha. So if you took our Mishnah without that addition, which is Mudrani Mimcha, which is the equivalent of Mudrani Heimach, or Mufushani Mimcha, Murchkani Mimcha, according to Shmuel, that had no meaning. That had no meaning at all. And then I had to add on Shani ochel lecha, v'shani oteim lecha. So then we said, based on that, hu d'asur v'chaveru mutar, that only in that instance was it limited that you were asur, but your friend was mutar. Aval, but mudrani mimcha, shnehem asurim. On the other hand, when you left the language alone, in the first version of Shmuel, we said that meant that it was meaningless. In the second version of Shmuel, we said that meant that it was both directions. That if you didn't limit it by the lecha, then the mimcha would be in both directions. So it's almost the opposite of how we're explaining Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina now. According to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, the word lecha goes in both directions, and the mimcha is only a unilateral direction. Now, the way that we explained Shmuel before was just the opposite, which is that in the Mishnah, when you said mimcha, that would have meant both directions. When you said shani ochel lecha, shani oteim lecha, then you narrowed it down to a single direction. That it's impossible to reconcile Shmuel with this new view of Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Chanina. According to this new reading of Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Chanina, what you have to say is Shmuel's explanation of the Mishnah is in this way, which is, when a person says, Mudrani Mimcha Shani Ochel, Mudrani Mimcha Shani Toim, that would work as a neder, and that would only be Oser, the individual in the other party's possessions, But it would not be a two-way street. On the other hand, if he says, "Shani uchel lecha," or "Shani atuim lecha," the lecha at the end would then make it l'shnehem, like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina says. And therefore, in our Mishnah, where it combines both languages, the mimcha and lecha, what Shmuel is coming to say is, the lecha has no meaning in that instance. The mimcha governs, and the addition of lecha makes no difference. From that, you would infer that if lecha was standalone, then it would have that meaning of shnehem asurim. The only reason that lecha is diluted in our Mishnah is because it's one case, and you already stated mimcha, and that mimcha is going to govern, and the lecha will make no difference. But then the Gemara challenges that from the Mishnah and says, even though you might be right, Shmuel, that our Mishnah says mimcha and lecha make no difference when they're combined together and mimcha governs, but then Shmuel should have been more explicit in how he was qualifying the Mishnah. All Shmuel says is, ad shiomar shani ochel lecha, shani utaim lecha, which seems to indicate that the lecha at the end is what narrows the scope, but the mimcha by itself would have a broader scope in shnehem asurim, rather than the way that you're trying to interpret Shmuel now, which says, ad shiomar shani ochel lecha, shani utaim lecha, by itself, that's what grants you shnehem asurim. But if you have it together with imecha, then it's hu asur v'chaveiro mutar. Well, you can read that into the words of Shmuel. It is a less plausible or likely explanation of Shmuel's words. Shmuel's words seem to indicate that the lecha is the narrowing scope, leaving that which is written explicitly in the Mishnah, mimcha, being the broader scope, rather than what you're intending now, which is that Shmuel's statement is saying lecha has the broader scope, and only when it's combined together with mimcha does it then have hu asur v'chaveru mutar. Because the mimcha neutralizes the power of the lecha when it is standalone. And so what the Gemara, according to the Ran, is doing now is rejecting reading this explanation of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina into Shmuel's statement, because Shmuel's statement is much easier to read in the Mishnah the other way around. And if he really meant what we are suggesting Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina right now, then Shmuel should have made it much clearer. Ella mikara de Shmuel hachi itmar. This is what Shmuel meant. Taima damar shani ochel lecha v'shani toim lecha hu de'ein hu asur elav achila. Ha-mudrani mimcha asur afilu be'ana. So we're leaving behind the concept of one direction or two directions with regards to the nether. We're trying a new approach now, which is that mudrani mimcha would generate not only an isur achila, but would generate a general isur hana'a. When I then narrow it to shani ochel lecha, then I narrow it down to simply eating and not hana'ah in general. So now we're just focusing on what is the nature of the nether. If I take a more generic lashon, that means an isur hana'ah. If I specify the language here, which is ochel lecha, toim lecha, then I narrow the scope of the nether to being exactly that, to eating. All right, so that would be a new way to deal with the Mishnah and a new way to explain Shmuel. Gemara says, but ihachi, Lema Shmuel hachi. Let's be honest. If that's the case, let Shmuel say that. The words of Shmuel don't seem to indicate that. If you go back to the beginning of the Gemara on Amud Bet there, Amar Shmuel bikulan ad shiomar shani ochel lecha shani atoim lecha. It says, until you say ochel lecha or toim lecha, until you formulate it in that way, then, and that was the question, what then means. But over here, the way that we're setting it up now, that's not a demand. That is not absolutely necessary. It's not necessary for you to say ochel lecha or toim lecha. The nether will be functional or go into effect even without that. And therefore, the language is seemingly inappropriate for the conclusion you're trying to get to in Shmuel's wording. Shmuel is saying you need the ochel lecha, you need the toim lecha. We're saying you don't need it. It's just, if you want to narrow the scope of the nether from hana'ah to achilah, then you say this. That doesn't seem to be what Shmuel is saying. And as the Ram points out, you could have asked this on the previous two explanations of the Gemara, because both of those don't say that it's pivotal to say this language in order to have the Isur. It simply says, if you say this language, it narrows it down. And just like you're asking this on this Lashon, you could have asked it on the other two Lashonot, just the Gemara had other questions that were sufficient to undermine those explanations. And if you wanted for Shmuel to say this, this is the way Shmuel's wording should have been. We have an Gemara, it's written as a double negative. If you look in the Agota Bach, he flips the Gersa to read it as a positive. So I'll read it the way that the Bach reads it. He says, Iachi lema Shmuel hachi. If that's the case, let Shmuel say this. V'im lo amar shani ochel lecha, shani otoim lecha, asur afilu behana. The way that Shmuel should have phrased the statement is, if you don't say ochel lecha, and you don't say toim lecha, then you're going to be asur behana'a. The way that it's phrased in the Gemara, it just uses a double negative. So the Bach just reads it as a positive statement, that if you don't say these, then you're going to end up with an Isur Hana. So then the Gemara just has, Im lo amar, ela shani ochel lecha, shani otoim lecha. If he only says those, ain asur ela ba'achila, then you're only asur ba'achila. The way the Bach has it, if you don't add these languages, then you will be asur ba'ana. But either way, it means the same thing. But Shmuel should have said something along those lines, which tells you that the ochel lecha and toim lecha narrow it down from hana'a to achila, but not some statement that says it's necessary to say ochel lecha and toim lecha, and therefore this doesn't seem like a plausible explanation for the words of Shmuel. Elo hachi itmar. Taima damar shani ochel lecha v'shani toim lecha hu dasur. Aval amar mudrani heimach. Lo mashma damar asur. So now we're going back basically to the original thought process in Shmuel, going back to the beginning, which is that Shmuel believes without the addition of Shani ochel lecha, Shani otoim lecha, you have nothing. If you simply say mudrani mimcha, muruchani mimcha, mufrishani mimcha, that is not sufficient because I don't know what you said. You didn't say anything that meant asur. Why? My taima. Because I can interpret these statements as meaning something else. And that's what we call yadayim she'enan mochichot. Yadayim, or what we know in our Mishnah, yad l'neder. Yad is where you do not have a complete language. You don't have something that's fully articulated and presented. But through your language, we can extrapolate and understand that's what you meant to do. So yad l'neder means that even if I didn't say specifically I'm taking a neder, I'm making you a surbana, but if I take what you said, I can understand that's what you meant to say, and therefore I'll expand your statement to mean that you're asur ba'ana. But if the language is so ambiguous that it has multiple interpretations, and therefore I really don't know what you said, that becomes what's called yadayim she'enan mochichot. It's a yad, yes, it's a subpar or a partial language, but eino mochiach. It's not clear what the intent of that language was. And that's what Shmuel says about our Mishnah. When it says, Mudrani mimcha, Meruchukani mimcha, Mufrishani mimcha, the Gemara is about to explain that those words can mean this. My daima, Mudarani mimcha, Lo mishtaina badach, mashma. Means that I will not engage with you. I will not speak to you. But it doesn't mean a nether. It just simply means I don't want to talk to you. When I say Mudrani mimcha, I can interpret it one of two ways. I can interpret it to mean Mudrani mimcha means I'm trying to take an neder, an isur hana'a, or it could be meaning simply, I don't want to speak to you anymore. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And that wouldn't be a statement of neder. That's just a statement that I just don't want to talk to you anymore. Now, what you suggested, there's a second lashon in the run that's brought down, and I'll mention that afterwards, but what your suggestion is a good suggestion. Fushani mimcha. Dlo avidna imach masal matan mashma. I say, I want to be mufresh from you. I don't want to be in business dealings with you anymore. I don't want to be your partner in business anymore. Doesn't mean I want to have an isur hana'a. Simply means I just don't want to engage in business dealings with you anymore. Ruchukani mimcha. Lo ka'imna b'dalad damot dilach mashma. Ruchukani means a physical distance. I just don't want to be near you anymore. Just keep your distance. Just keep your distance from me. I don't want to be in your presence. That doesn't mean I took an isur hana'a. So the way I read it is the simpler way to read it, which is, yadayim she'enan mochichot means that since I have an ambiguous term now, the term can be interpreted to be a neder, an isur hana'a, could also be interpreted to mean, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to be near you, I don't want to be in business dealings with you anymore. Since it doesn't have a clear outcome, then it's nothing. Nothing became engaged. It's not a neder at all. The other possibility, and it seems the Rambam explains it this way, the Quran brings us an alternative explanation, which is that when it comes to yadayim she'enan mochichot, you could understand it in one or two ways. Yadayim she'enan mochichot, it's not mochiach, means that it's not clear what you meant to say. And since it's ambiguous, ambiguity just doesn't work. And therefore it's a zero. The other thing you can say is, it has multiple interpretations. And since it has multiple interpretations, I'm going to take the narrowest explanation over here. That means that I know you wanted to make a neder, but mudrani mimcha could either mean that I'm taking a neder of isur hana'a from you, or can simply mean that I don't want to speak to you anymore. And therefore, if I have those choices, I'm going to take the narrowest definition, say, it means that I don't want to speak to you anymore, and you do have a neder that you won't speak to anymore. That's the lowest common denominator that would come out of this. Or mufushani mimcha, could mean an isra na, could mean I don't want to do business with you. We're going to explain it as the lowest item because it's yadayim sheinu mochichot, so I don't want to overstep what the meaning is. So therefore, I take the lowest meaning that I can come to, or the simplest meaning that I can come to. And the same way with chani mimcha. Obviously, the nafkamina is whether you have a neder here or not. According to the first way we explained it, there's no neder whatsoever when you have yadayim sheinu mochichot. According to the second explanation, when you have yadayim sheinu mochichot, I have to look at the multiple interpretations, and then look at whether it's the most likely or the least expansive or most narrow explanation of it, and assume that you did take a neder, but you took a neder along those narrowest lines. So those are the two possible ways to explain what the Gemara is saying at this point. But what is clear from Shmuel is that he's explaining our Mishnah as being a case of Yadayim She'en Mokrichot, and therefore he needs the addition at the end of She'ani Ochel Lecha, She'ani Yitoim Lecha. By adding on She'ani Ochel Lecha, She'ani Yitoim Lecha, it's making it very clear that the meaning of Ruchukani, Mifushani Ruchukani, was an Isar Hana'ah, and not something about our engagement. Don't stand next to me. Don't be in business with me. Don't talk to me. So that's why you need the extra language at the end in order to make it into a Isur Hana'ah. Now, what do you do with the Braitot? The Braitot don't agree with Shmuel. Shmuel clearly is saying that the language alone is not enough. And the Braitot that we brought yesterday say that that language is sufficient. So what you have to say, and that is that Shmuel argues on the Braitot. But he has support from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah does not have the word Asur twice. The two brayta that we brought yesterday had the word Asur twice, and therefore it was clear that each statement was independent. She'ani ochel lecha was independent of Ruchukani mimcha and Mufrushani mimcha. On our Mishnah, there's only one word Asur, and that would even indicate in the direction of Shmuel, which is that it means a single unit, and therefore our Mishnah believes, and this is what Gemara is going to say in a second, that Yadayim she'enu mochichot, einam yadayim. If you have yadayim that are not unambiguous, in that case, we would not assume that they are effective. Either not effective totally, or not effective at all, depending on the explanation that we gave. The Braitot believe, yadayim she'inan mochichot, havyin yadayim. Even ambiguous yadayim can still generate a neder. And so what you now have is, av machloket tanaim, and Shmuel is aligning himself along with one of these Tanaim, which is our Mishnah. Or the other alternative is that Shmuel will explain the Braitot in the narrower scope of Neder that we explained before. But you're right, Mudrani Mimcha is a Sur, either because it's the position of the Chachamim, or the Braitot says that it's a Sur based on the alternative we gave in Shmuel's position, which is that it's Yad She'enu Mochiach, and therefore its only definition is that I won't talk to you anymore. And that'll be the neder. And that's what it means, asur, in the Braita, that it'll be good enough to stop you from doing business with him, not standing next to him. Those narrower definitions. But it won't be a full-fledged neder. And that'll be the way to explain the Braita, or to what the Easter in the Braita means. Now the Gemara says, Lema, kasav Shmuel, yadayim she'en mochichot, lo havyin yadayim. Let us say that Shmuel himself believes that yadayim she'en mochichot, lo havyin yadayim. That's a strange question in one sense. Because, of course, that's what he believes. He just set up our Mishnah to be Yadayim She'en Mochichot. Why did he set up our Mishnah that way? So you could argue that Shmuel was just setting up the Mishnah that way because the language of the Mishnah compelled him to do that. But the Gemara now is saying is, let us say that not only did he do it because he believed that was the right way to read the Mishnah, or that was Meduyak out of the Mishnah, but that he personally subscribes to that position. And the Gemara says in, Shmuel mukim lo matnitan ki Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel sets up our mission like Rabbi Yehuda. Yadayim she'enan mochichot lo havyin yadayim. That yadayim that are ambiguous are not considered to be yadayim, and therefore they do not engage a neder in that instance, or at least they don't engage the broader scope of neder in that instance. Ditznan, we have a Mishnah. Gufo shel get, what is the integral part of the get? Now when we talk about gufo shel get over here, we're talking about the part that the sofer has to leave out, in essence, in order to write when he knows who the get is for. A get must be written lishma, has to be written for the intention of those individuals, and this part of the get is the core, the essence of the get, and therefore the sofer has to write that when he knows who the get's going to be used for. So you can't just have this generic get. where you just hand it out to people and you can fill in your name and it's all done. You have to leave out, obviously, the names, but you also have to leave out this ikar part of the get so that it becomes lishma. So we have the Tana Kama, the Chachamim say, Gufu shel get hariat muteret lechol adam, that you are now released to all men, and that is the ikar part of the get. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, you have to add in this language, which is the Dain, Davi Laichi Minai, Sefer Teruchin, Vigeret Shvukim. This will be from me, a Sefer, well, you could call it a scroll or a book of Teruchin, of separation, Vigeret, and a letter of Shivukim, of being sent away. So now, Rabbi Yehuda requires not only that Hariat Muteret Lechol Adam, but he requires Vidain, the explanation of that. Now here, there is a general machloket amongst the Rishonim, and it's not so simple because of other Gemarot, which is, what is the emphasis of Rabbi Yehuda over here? What language does he want added in that would not have been sufficient without it? So you could say the whole language that he just said, that language which teaches you the definition of what Harei At Muter Dechol Adam is, because you could have suggested that Ariat Muter Dechol Adam simply means we're divorced, and this documents the fact that we are divorced. When I give you the get and say Ariat Muter Dechol Adam, that's what generates the divorce. The paper here is just evidence of the fact that that's what happened. How do I make it that the document itself is the divorce? That the bill of divorce is what generates the divorce? I write in there, V'dain. This is what creates Ze Sefer Teruchin. This is the document by which the Gerushin are generated. That's one possibility to explain what Rabbi Yehuda is after. The other possibility of what Rabbi Yehuda is after is the Minai. Bidain Davi Laichi Minai, from me. Because the language before is generic. Hari At Muter Dechol Adam. You are now freed to all men. But it doesn't say who the get is being granted from. Who are you released from? Or who is granting you this get? So you have to say, Hariat Muter Dechol Adam, me many, from me. And that's the language that is the focus of Rabbi Yehuda in this instance. That is, both a machloket rishonim. It may be that both are true. It may be that only one is true. It depends on different sugyot that you look at in Shas. If you look at in the sugyot in Gitin, really the focus here seems to be on the Dain. That the definition of the document as being the bill of divorce and what affects the divorce. On the other hand, in the Gemara in Kiddushin, there's a sugyo with Shmuel, which focuses on the addition of li or mimeni, which is hariat mikudeshet li. Hariat mikudeshet without the li is not sufficient. And the same would be true of gerushin, that you have to say mimeni, and that hariat muteret is not sufficient unless you define it mimeni. Because you have these other sugyot, the Rishonim are trying to bring these other sugyot in and reconcile them with what is stated over here. Our Gemara is obviously focused on Yadayim She'ene Mochichot. In both instances, you could argue, the Ran does this in the end and argues maybe both are true, that you need both Mimeni and you need the Bidain, that both are necessary in order to generate the Gerushin, because we believe Yadayim She'ene Mochichot Enom Yadayim, and therefore you have to both define the document as the item that effectuates the divorce, as well as who the divorce is coming from. And therefore you'll need Vidain and you need Mimeni. But there are Rishonim, and the Ran even brings an opinion like this, that you might only need Vidain, or you might only need Mimeni, depending on where you think the problem is, or how you reconcile between the different sugyot. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Amai dochik Shmuel, lo'ukma l'matnitan k'rab Yehuda, lukma k'rab Anan. What pressured Shmuel to give a difficult explanation of our Mishnah and say that it's limited to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and not say that it's like the Rabbonon? Look like the Rabbonon, afgav, dein yadayim mochichot. Why don't you settle like the Rabbonon, that even if it's not yadayim mochichot, it still works? What precipitated the explanation, or compelled the explanation by Shmuel, that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and it's one statement in the Mishnah? Just say like the Braitot. It's two different statements. They both work. Every language works. And it's like the Rabbanan. And Yadayim She'ene Mochichot are Yadayim. Now, that's an interesting question, because we just said before, what is Shmuel's opinion? Shmuel holds Yadayim She'ene Mochichot having Yadayim. Right, that's why he wants our Mishnah to be exactly like that, because then it supports his opinion. So what the Ran says, and what many of the Rishonim point out, is that Shmuel by doing this is subscribing to a Dat Yachid. Shmuel is subscribing to the Dat Yachid of Rabbi Yehuda over the Rabbanon. That's a difficult position to take unless he can find a Stam Mishnah that supports him. And therefore, he sets up this Mishnah as being Rabbi Yehuda because he's compelled to do so. Once he's compelled to do so, now he has a Mishnah that supports that position, and that's why he subscribes to the position of Rabbi Yehuda. So we had it backwards. We thought, this is the position of Shmuel, therefore he wants the Mishnah to read this way. No, the reason that Shmuel has this opinion is because the Mishnah forced him to read it that way. And that shows him that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is a Stam Mishnah, and will trump the position of the Chachamim, even though he's a Dat Yachid over here. So what we're basically asking is, what compelled Shmuel to explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda? Because that precipitated Shmuel's opinion that Yadayim Sheni Mochichot Haven Yadayim. And based on that, Amar Rava, and so therefore Rava says, Amar Rava, Matniten Kashitei. The Mishnah was difficult for him. Amai Ta'ani Shani Ochel Lecha V'Shani Toim Lecha. Why does the Mishnah end off with the language of Shani Ochel Lecha Shani Toim Lecha? Litnei Shani Ochel V'Shani Toim. If it was true that the Mishnah was like the Chachamim, and therefore all of these languages work, why do you need Shani Ochel Lecha? V'Shani Toim Lecha. Lecha already gives you Yadayim Mochichot. It tells you who the nether is focused on. It tells you where the nether is landing. The fact that we add in this Lashon of Lecha already indicates that we're looking for Yadayim Mochichot. We're looking for something that gives definition to what is stated in the Mishnah. Shmamina b'yidayin an yadayin mochichot. The fact that our Mishnah doesn't suffice with Shani Ochel, the Shani Toim, but demands that you add on the Lashon Lecha, that already in itself shows you that the Mishnah is looking for yadayin mochichot. The fact that the Mishnah is looking for yadayin mochichot now compels Shmuel to say that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. If our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, then the languages of Meruchukani Mimcha, Meruchukani Mimcha, Meruchukani Mimcha are not sufficient. Because they are Yadayim She'ein Mochichot. Because their interpretation is ambiguous. And therefore the Yadayim She'ein Mochichot. And therefore our Mishnah has to be explained where you combine Meruchukani Mimcha with Shani Ochel Lecha. But when you say that, you also have to add in the Lecha. Because the Lecha is also a way to define the neder and to make it unambiguous about whom the neder is. And therefore, our Mishnah is clearly authored by Rabbi Yehuda. And since it's authored by Rabbi Yehuda, now Shmuel finds that we have a Stam Mishnah supporting Rabbi Yehuda's position. And based on that, Shmuel believes that Yadayim She'enu Mochichot, Lo Avin Yadayim, are not considered to be Yadayim. And Ein Ochanami, the Braitot argue on the Mishnah. And the Braitot are the Shita of the Chachamim, the Shita of the Rabbana, that Shere Yadayim She'enu Mochichot, are sufficient. Right now, the Ran takes up this issue that I mentioned before, which is the Gemara in Kiddushin says, according to Shmuel, Harei At Mikudeshet is not sufficient. Because you need Harei At Mikudeshet Li, because the Li is a Yadayim Shemokhichot, and therefore Shmuel believes that. The Gemara there asked questions both about Geushin and Kiddushin, and in the end, the Gemara only gives examples of Kiddushin. It says, Ariad Mekudeshet Li. And the Gemara never says whether you need to have that Mimeni by Gitin. Because of that, the Ran reads that Gemara in one of two possibilities. Either you have to say by Gerushin that the context is Mochiach, who the divorcing party is. Because the divorcing party is the one handing the get to the woman. So why do you have to say Ariad Mekudeshet Mimeni? Yeah. Because you never divorce your friend's wife. Or, contextually, it's so obvious, we're going to see this in the Gemara second, that the parties who are involved are the ones who are divorcing, because nobody divorces, again, the Gemara says, your friend's wife, you're not going to hand your friend's wife a get, because that doesn't work. That's because you're thinking about today. That wasn't the way Erusin was done in their day. They weren't sitting under a chuppah. Chuppah's nisuin. They were doing kiddushin, independent of the chuppah. Goes over to a woman and proposes to her, Ayaret Mekudeshet. To whom? So over there, it's not mochiach. So therefore, you require the lead. Gitin are contextually muchach. Their explanation is an outcome of the context in which they're found. That's one way that the Ran explains it. Then the Ran goes back and says, maybe, when the Gemara says, v'chein the gerushin, the same is true by gerushin, means that you need mimeni also over there, even though it doesn't spell it out, but it would be obvious, and you do need mimeni there. Obviously, those two explanations affect, again, what we said before, in Rabbi Yehuda's statement, what was important. What was important for you to say to make it yadayim mukhichot? Was it the mimani or was it vidain? And if you think that mimani is not necessary, we'll see in a second why. Again, in the Gemara, that maybe only the dain is important. Or maybe you think that the mimani is important and the minai that's mentioned here is what's important. That will depend on how you read that Gemara in Kiddushin as to whether the mimani is essential to be yadayim mukhichot or not. Again, the Gemara in Gittin clearly reads it as vidain being the important element, explaining that the document is the divorce, and not anything we say or anything we do. It's simply the document creates the divorce. Now, as the Ron says, therefore, kaim alon kishmuel, that we pass on like Shmuel, to midrani l'mimcha l'chudei, that midrani l'mimcha by itself is not sufficient. But now we have to go back to understand Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina, who disagrees and says that the midrani mimcha, or midrani heimach, the meaning of being asur just for only to one party, and l'chai makes both of them asurim. So how do we reconcile that with Shmuel's position? You have to say that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina meant that he said, Mudrani lecha mi'achila. And by doing that, you make it into a yad mochiach. And once you've made it into a yad mochiach, then it would work. So what the Ron says is, in order to accommodate Shmuel's position and Rabbi's position, which we're going to see in a second, which is that yadayim sheinam mochichot lo aven yadayim, to reconcile that with Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, we have to say that when Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina made a statement, he meant, Modrani mimcha me'achila. That you make the full statement into a statement that yad mochiach, in that context, mocha has the meaning of shnehem asurim. And the mimcha has the definition, or the meaning of being asur, just to one of them, for only to one party. That's only if you add in an additional language that would make it a yad mochiach. Therefore, you would have to say he meant, Modrani mimcha me'achila. Alright, so now the Gemara says, itmar, yadayim shein mochichot. What is the din with regards to yadayim shein mochichot? Abaye amar havin yadayim. Abaye says they are functional. They do work as yadayim. Rav amar lo havin yadayim. They don't function as yadayim. So now again over here, yadayim shein mochichot. The word yadayim, when we're using it over here, yad can be meaning in different ways. Yad can mean that I said something incomplete, which is the yad is I have a portion of what I need. I don't have the full amount of what I need. And then shein mokrichot means that with the portion that I have doesn't give me clear evidence of what the remainder meant. Or yadayim can also mean something by which I grasp. Right? We said this earlier in the Masechta, yad, like of a pot, that I grasp the yad in order to live up the pot, which is that I'm using language that seemingly wants to indicate more than what's in the language. I just don't know what the more is that I'm trying to include through that language. So I'm trying to grasp something, I'm trying to do something, but I did it in a subpar method, therefore it leaves us in a position where we're trying to determine what you were trying to lift, what you were trying to accomplish. So, Amar Rova, Rav Idi Asperli. Rav Idi explained to me, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Nazir Lazir Lashem. This is the Pasuk that we brought back on Daf Gimel to teach us that Yadayim or Yad L'Nizirut, Avi Nizirut. Mekish Yadot Nizirut L'Nizirut. We have a Hekesh between Yadayim of Nizirut to Nizirut. Ma nizirut b'hafla'a, just like nizirut has to be done and articulated and clear, af yadot nizirut b'hafla'a, so too the yadayim of nizirut have to be b'hafla'a. Now, the Ron explains over here that the meaning of hafla'a is different in each of these cases. Because if a neder nizirut requires hafla'a, then certainly yadayim nizirut require hafla'a, because they can't be better than nizirut. They're a subset of nizirut. Then, of course, they require hafla'a. So what the requirement min adin of hafla'a ben nizirut is that it has to be clearly articulated and clear that you are becoming a nazir. The Gemara gives an example if a person says, hey, and there's a nazir walking by. I'll be that, and there's a nazir walking by. So that's a yad l'nazir. Then we have another case where he says, I'm a nazir, and who nazir? I'm a nazir. If that guy walking towards us is a nazir. By the time that he takes the neder, he has no clue whether he's a nazir. So that lacks in hafla'a, which is the requirement to be clear, articulate, and know for certain what the outcome is at the time. At the time that you said it, you have no idea whether you're a nazir, because you don't know what the status of that individual is. What the hafla'a means by the yadayim now is not the same meaning. Of course, you require that same hafla'a. Just like you require hafla'a by nizirut, which is that it's clear you're becoming a nazir, so too by yad, you have that same need. What then Hekesh does, it says that the yad needs to be hafla'a, needs to be articulated, means that the yad has to be clear that that's what you meant. And that's the addition of hafla'ah here. The addition necessity by Yad to have hafla'ah means, along the lines of what you're suggesting, that Yad cannot just be any language you want. It has to be a language that has clear meaning that you want to become a Nazir.
Like a case where a Nazir is walking in front of you and you say a hey. If you just said a hey without that, then we don't know if it means a hey le tibetani, to heaven a Nazir. In that case, you need something that defines for you what the language or the Yad that you're using is applying to.
And so therefore, the Yad also has that requirement. And that's what Rava says. Yadayim she'enam mochichot don't work because they lack hafla'ah in this hekesh. Where it says, Lema b'plukta, the Rabbi Yehuda, v'rabbonim kamiflege. Let us say that Abaye and Rava argue along the lines of the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda. We just brought a machloket in Gitin between the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda that seemingly is premised on this, Yadayim she'enam mochichot. And now we brought a machloket amoraim, which seems to arguing about the same exact issue. That's done. Gufo shel get areyat muter dechol adam. Yudomer v'dein lahavi laichim minai sefer teruchim v'get peturim v'geret shibukim. So again, here you have the machloket in Gitin, and seemingly Abaye damar kerabbanon. Abaye is like the rabbanon that yadayim sheni mechichot are fine. V'rova damar kerabbi Yehuda, and Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda that yadayim sheni mechichot don't work. Amar lecha Abaye. Abaye will say to you, ana damri afilu le Rabbi Yehuda. I can even fit into the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda, bein in yadayim mochichot, ele gabi get. The only reason I need yadayim mochichot is because it's a get, dbein and kritut. Because there I need a severing of the relationship. So when I need a severing of the relationship, and I need to make it clear and exact about how the complete relationship has been terminated at this point. And therefore, I have all this additional language makes it absolutely clear that this is an absolute termination of our relationship. Veleka, without that language, I don't have that. Hariyat Mutar Dechol Adam is not sufficient to create that kritut. You need kritut that is a defined, absolute, and clear termination of our relationship between me and you. It speaks about her freedom, but not his release. And kritut is a severing of the relationship or release from him. And that's only added in by the Vedain. He's saying, your status is now muteret. How did that happen? No definition to that. That's where Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, you got to define why she's muteret l'chol adam. Because you released her. Because you terminated the relationship. That's what needs to be there. That's sefer kritut. Sefer kritut means that this get has to define what created the muteret l'chol adam. He's defining in there her status, without telling you how she got to that status. How does that happen? Because I severed the relationship. That's found in the wording of Dain. So he says, but outside of that context, maybe Rabbi Yehuda believes Yadayim Sheinu Mechichot would be fine. Rova Amar, Ana Damrei Afilu Kerabbanon. I can even explain according to Rabbanon. Ad Kan Lo Kami Rabbanon Tlo Binin Yadayim Mechichot Eli Gabi Get. By Get, you don't need Yadayim Mechichot. Dain Adam Megareish Yadayim Sheinu Chaveirot. This is what I was speaking back before in the Ran, which is the context defines what's happening over here. You don't need Vidain, because obviously if you're handing this woman a get, and you're divorcing her, that certainly you are the one divorcing her, number one. And number two is, clearly, you're severing the relationship by giving her the get. You're right. Eishet Chaveiro is because of the focus on Mimeni, which is that, we said before that it's not clear what the Yadayim Sheinu Mechichot or Yadayim Mechichot are over here. Is it the Dain? The definition of what the document's doing? Or minai, mimeni? Over here, our Gemara is clearly focused on the lecha mimeni, which is the defining yadayim mochichot, about upon whom the nether is applicable, or to who the gerushin is going to, or from whom it's coming from. So over here, when the Gemara gives in adam agarei shadeshet chaveiro, person doesn't divorce his friend's wife, then it's clear that if he's engaging his wife and giving her a divorce, then the get is not coming from someone else, it's coming from him. And from him means me many. It's automatically built into the context that me many, it's coming from me. If he walks up and hands a get, what's the question? Who did the get come from? What are the possibilities? It came from the husband, or it came from his friend. Gemara says, Ein adam garesh eshet chaveiro. If it came from his friend, the other friend is not divorcing his wife, which would be eshet chaveiro. So therefore, the me many is clear in the context that he's divorcing his wife. They have a relationship. The only one to terminate the relationship is me many, is from me. And therefore, it's built into the context of Alba'alma. When you don't have context, Mishmayelo, would you necessarily suggest that that is the case? So in the case of Neder, we say Shani Ochel or Shani Toim, and it doesn't define upon whom that is going, maybe over there the Rabbanan would agree, Adam Shani Mokhikotem, because the context doesn't give you any information. Now maybe, if it was in a case where they were arguing, a case where it's clear from the context what it is, then maybe even the Rabbanan would agree there, that it would be the same as get. But without context, maybe they would require yadayim mochichot as well. So that is the way that we could explain this, that Abaye and Rav are not necessarily arguing within the same position as Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbonon. Now, the problem here is that the way that the language reads, and therefore many Rishonim changed the language, says, Rav Amar Anam Rei Afilu Rabbonon. I can agree with the Rabbanan. The Adkan lo kamei Rabbanan delo ba'inan yedayin mochichot el gabi get. That by get, basically, the Rachamim say, those are yedayin sheino mochichot. Dein adam magereshe deshe chavero. Aval ba'alma, that not. Rova holds that yedayin sheino mochichot lo havin yedayin. But what he's saying, or the way the language reads in the Gemara, is that by get, yedayin sheino mochichot are okay. It's a special case, but he's saying that it's yedayin sheino mochichot. The Rashbo and others did not like that language. And therefore, they amended the Gemara to read that by Gerushin, it is Yadayim Shein Mochichot. Because in the end, what they're saying is it's really not Yadayim Shein Mochichot, because the context makes it a Yadayim Shein Mochichot. And therefore, they were uncomfortable with the language that says it's Yadayim Shein Mochichot, and it still works. That's not what it is. In the end, it's not Yadayim Shein Mochichot, because the context makes it that it's not Yadayim Shein Mochichot. And therefore, the Rashba, Shibesh Lashon Zeh, he changed the language, as the Ran says. And he says, "Vali ati shapir." He said, "I'm fine with the way that it's written in the Gemaras." He says, "If you were taking this in a vacuum, the statement that he makes is not a yadayim mochiach or yad mochiach. It's simply not. It's an ambiguous language. The fishel hashon eino mochiach shehu migarsha. If you just said hariat mater the chol adam, there's no clarity in that language without the context. Now." Ella, Shayinyan Mochiach, Mitzadismo, Shumigarsha. What he says is, parse what's happening over here. The language itself remains the language of Shayinim Mochichot, Yadayim Shayinim Mochichot. Now, the context helps us to now tell you that the total package or the total situation turns out to be Yad Mochiach. But it's not because of the language. The language is no better than it was without that. The language standalone is a poor choice of language. But because of the context, I can overcome that problem. The Rashba and others didn't like that. They wanted to say no. That the language itself now becomes a language that is sufficient to be a Yad Mochiach. Because Ein Adam Megaresh Eshet Chaveiro, which means, it's not just the context, by the fact that people don't divorce their friends, you don't need to say Mimeni. Hariat Muter Dechol Adam is obvious that it's Mimeni. And sin therefore becomes a Yad Mochiach. So the way that the Rashba and those Rishonim believed is that it is a Yad Mochiach here. This language is sufficient. You don't need Mimeni. Why don't you need Mimeni? Because a person doesn't divorce his friend's wife. Therefore, implicit in the language is Mimeni, and therefore you're fine. That becomes a Yad Mochiach. Divorce by itself creates that context, but the context is not the issue. On the other hand, the Ran believes, no, you have two separate issues here. You have the language remains poor language, ambiguous language. The context can then overcome the deficit in the language. So therefore he says, I'm fine with leaving the Girsa the way it is, that the Gemara here says that it's Lo Bayin Yadayim Mochichot. You don't need Yad Mochiach. Why not? Context. As opposed to the Rashba, it says, no, you need Yad Mochiach. It just happens to be that language there is Yad Mochiach, even though that language in any other context would not work. But in the context of Gitin or Gerushin, that language is sufficient because it's the only possible interpretation of the language, which is that you're divorcing your wife. Okay, now, from our Gemara, and this is what the Ran says, it's mashma that the Maklok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is about Minai, Mimeni. Because our Gemara is focused on the Lecha, Mimeni, and all those items. And he says, that seems strange, because if you go to Gitin, their machloket is about adding in the language of Dinein and not Minai. V'lav kashyahi. He says, it's not a problem. Sh'shtei ha-sugyot halalu. Each one of these sugyot, kol achat magala al chaverta. Each one of them reveals something about the other. Tibetarte plige. The Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda argue about 2 points. V'hacham refashin antayma tibetayu Minai. Over here in our Gemara, we're explaining that Mimeni is the pivotal issue. V'hatam v'rashinan, v'dein is the pivotal issue. V'ein ochanami, that you need both. And the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda argue about both issues. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you need both v'dein, and you need mimeni. You need yadayim mochichot in who is granting the get, but you also need yadayim mochichot in that the get itself is what generates the divorce. And therefore, he requires both v'dein and mimeni. As opposed to the Chachamim, they require neither, because they don't require yadayim shein mochichot. So he says, v'ika demanda amar. And he says, now he brings other Rishonim, to came in the Pliga Rabbanan laid to Rabbi Yehuda Minai, they argue about Mimeni, Kaimalon to Rabbanan, that we pass in like the Rabbanan. Zelo ba'ayim Minai, di yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. If we have a machloket in Mimeni, whether you need it or don't need it, and it's a machloket Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, then we should say, halacha ke Chachamim. Even though, if you have a machloket to buy in Rava, halacha ke Rava, which means, yadayim she'in mochichot, lo havin yadayim. So then, why don't you require me many? Because of what Rava said in our Gemara. Rava says, I can even fit into the position of the Chachamim. And get is an exception to the rule. Get, either because of context, according to the Ran, or because of the language of Yadayim Shein Mechichot, turn into Yadayim Mechichot, because you don't need me many by Gitin, according to the other Rishonim. Therefore, Avagav the Kaimelon Kirova, even though we paskin like Rava, we could still paskin like the Chachamim in Gitin, because Rava says you don't need Yadayim Mechichot by a get. So therefore, me many is not necessary. But V'dein, you would need. Because V'dein, it leads to a machloki between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And Dav Herach Megaresh, Yibaylan, Yibay V'dein, Olo, V'loiv Shita. Since now the Gemara goes and asks, what's the halacha? Is it like Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? And the Gemara has no conclusion. That means we go to Chumrah. And the Chumrah would say you have to have V'dein in there. And therefore we pass in the Chumrah. So according to that, we would suggest V'dein you would require. Mimeni, you wouldn't require based on the conclusion of the Gemara. V'igadam, right? And then the Ram brings the other alternative, is that we paskin like Rava. We paskin like Rava means b'yadayim she'ne mochikot lo'av in yadayim. And therefore you require both V'dayin and Minai. You require V'dayin again for the same reason, which is either she'dayim she'ne mochikot, or more importantly, because the Gemara doesn't know the answer. Doesn't know the answer, we're going to go to Chumrah. But also you need Mimeni, which is what Rava says over here when he says, I can fit into the position of Chachamim, means Va'anan Kaimalan Karova, Vakemin Shikame, Biminai Nami Ikala Meimar, Lutamayu the Azle, Vlamishum Dena Damagarishavel, Mishum Yadaim Shane Mechot Abin Yadaim. What Rava says is, I don't subscribe to the position of Chachamim. But what I can do is I can explain my opinion, even according to the Chachamim who think that Yadaim Shane Mechot have Yan Yadaim. So even though I don't subscribe to that, I don't believe that, but I can still fit into the position of the Chachamim. So what Rav is saying is, I don't think the Chachamim are right. But, despite that fact, I can still fit into their position, and we don't have to say that it's a machloket tanaim. And therefore, me being by Yadayim Sheinu Mochichot, they hold Havin Yadayim, I hold that Sheinam in Yadayim. It's not Yadayim. And therefore, I would require me many, even though the Chachamim do not require me many. Now this might be a derivative of how you explain Yadayim Sheini Mochichot, or how you explained the Gemara before. The Ran, who left it intact, and says that the context overcomes the problem of Yadayim Sheini Mochichot, really says that Rava is explaining that Yadayim Sheini Mochichot remain in place, and context overcomes it. According to the Rashba and others, they say no. If the Yadayim are Mochichot, then it works. If they're not Mochichot, it doesn't work. So according to the Ran, the whole position of Ein Mochichot is still in place. And since it's in place, maybe Rava's just explaining the position of the Chachamim, that even though it's Ein Mochichot, they still believe it's Yadayim, and I can still fit into that, but I won't subscribe to that. On the other hand, according to the Rashba, who says that it becomes Yadayim Mochichot, even Rava would agree. If it's Yadayim Mochichot, he would have to agree because of that. He would have to agree that you don't require me many in that instance. Tosafot has an interesting formulation about it, which he says that there might be different gradations of Yadayim Sheini Mochichot. There might be Yadayim Sheini Mochichot Klal, which means that they're Yadayim that are completely ambiguous, and there's just no way to come around to them. There are cases of Yadayim Mochichot, where it's obvious what you're trying to do. And then there's a middle ground, which is Yadayim She'in Mochichot, that are in this in-between stage, where there's some hint or some way to get a sense of what they were trying to say, but it's still somewhat ambiguous. And that might be where their machloket is. The machloket between Abai and Rava might be at that level, which is that middle level. Everybody agrees, if they're in Mochichot Klau, that it doesn't work at all. And it's obvious when it's Mochiach that it does work. The question might be, in that grace area, or that grace stage, does it work? And therefore, Tosfot opens up the possibility that not in every case of Ein Mochichot does Abaye say that it works. It's only in a case where it has some semblance of explanation that it works. But if it has no explanation at all, even Abaye would agree in that case. And therefore, you could explain Abaye and Rava agreeing with the position of Shmuel. They might agree with Shmuel in this case, because maybe this is defined as Yadayim Sheini Mochichot Klal. That when you say Shani Ochel or Shani Toleim, that's totally ambiguous. And has no meaning, even according to Abaye, even according to Rava. Neither of them would think it's Yadayim Mochichot. It might only be once you have, like, Mufroshani Mimcha, Mruchkani Mimcha, there already, there might be a Yadayim Sheinim Ochichol, but have some definition or some explanation to them. In that case, that's where Abaye and Rava might disagree. Okay, we're going to stop here on the second line on the top of Vav Amud Aleph.